All right. Welcome, everybody, to another deep dive with us. Today, we're going to be tackling salvation in the New Testament.
Ooh.
And we're going to be using Dr. David L. Mathewson's lecture on New Testament theology.
Okay.
And I think what's really cool about his approach, at least from what I've seen so far, is that he doesn't just, like, lay out these New Testament concepts. He's, like, constantly showing how they're rooted in the Old Testament.
Right.
And so you're getting this, like, incredible tapestry of salvation across the entire Bible.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's what makes this so fascinating, because it's not just a list of new ideas. It's seeing how this plan of God has been unfolding for centuries.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So let's dive into this tapestry.
Okay.
Dr. Mathewson starts with justification.
Right.
Now, I'll admit, when I first heard that word, I pictured, like, a courtroom drama, you know, being declared not guilty. But Dr. Mathewson points out there's something much deeper going on here.
Yeah, you're right. It's more than just escaping punishment. It's about God in his perfect righteousness actually declaring us righteous. And it's rooted in his promise of ultimate vindication, meaning one day we'll be fully and finally set right.
So it's like, even though we know we mess up, in God's eyes, the verdict is already in, not guilty. That's a pretty radical idea, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, I know I struggle with that sometimes. How can I be declared righteous when I still make mistakes?
That's a struggle I think many of us face, you know. And I think what Dr. Mathewson is getting at is the transformative power of grace, you know. And in Romans 5.19, he emphasizes how justification is the opposite of condemnation. Through Christ's sacrifice, God can declare us righteous without compromising his justice.
Yeah, it really highlights the depth of God's love for us, doesn't it?
It does.
And it leads us perfectly into the next theme, reconciliation.
Right.
Now, this one feels a bit more familiar, like when two friends who've had a falling out finally make up.
Exactly. And Dr. Mathewson uses this relatable idea to explain reconciliation. Yeah.
And he reminds us it takes two sides to be at odds. And it's about repairing that brokenness, removing the barrier between them.
It's like two warring countries finally signing a peace treaty.
A great analogy.
Mm-hmm.
He then applies this to our relationship with God, which sin had fractured. But through Christ's death, a bridge is built. God takes the initiative to remove the barrier of sin that separates us from him.
Yeah.
And we see this clearly in key passages like Romans 5 and 2 Corinthians 5.
What really struck me was when he talked about how reconciliation isn't just about me and God. It's also about being reconciled to each other.
Yes.
It's like this incredible ripple effect.
Absolutely. It creates a unified community, tearing down walls of hostility, just like Ephesians 2 describes. This wasn't just about individuals being saved. It was about a new community being formed.
So if we're truly grasping reconciliation, it should change how we see our relationships, right?
Yes.
If God can reconcile us to himself despite everything, shouldn't we be extending that same grace and forgiveness to others? It's a powerful challenge to live out, especially in a world that often feels so divided.
And on that note of heartwarming ideas, Dr. Mathewson brings us to adoption.
Right.
This one feels so personal and resonates with so many people's experiences.
It's a powerful image, building on the Old Testament idea of Israel as God's chosen son.
Yeah.
But in the New Testament, this takes on a new dimension. In Romans 8 and Galatians 4, believers are described as God's adopted children. It's not just about being chosen. It's about being brought into God's family.
Yeah.
We even get this new language of intimacy, Abba, Father.
Yeah, it's like being given a new name.
Yes.
A new identity and a whole new family history.
Exactly.
It makes you think, what does it actually mean for me, for anyone, to be called a child of God?
That's a question worth reflecting on. It really gets to the heart of what it means to be loved and accepted by God.
Right.
Not because of anything we've done, but because of who he is.
Now we're moving into territory that might sound a bit more intimidating.
Sanctification. When I hear that word, I think of like strict rules.
Yeah.
And trying to be perfect.
I can understand why you'd feel that way, but Dr. Mathewson demystifies this concept beautifully. At its core, sanctification simply means being set apart for God and reflecting his holiness.
And he gives this great example from 1 Corinthians 1.2.
Right.
Where believers are called sanctified in Christ Jesus. So it's not about our own efforts to be holy. It's about being set apart because of our connection to Christ.
Exactly. It's important to note that sanctification has both present and future dimensions. We are set apart in Christ right now, but the process of becoming fully holy continues. It's a journey of being transformed to look more like Jesus.
And it's not just about some abstract spiritual transformation either.
Right.
Dr. Mathewson points to 1 Thessalonians 4.3-8, where Paul connects sanctification with everyday life, using the example of sexual morality.
Right.
It shows how holiness should affect every part of who we are. It's a call to live out our faith authentically, letting our transformed hearts guide our actions and choices.
It really challenges you to think, how does being set apart change my daily life?
Hmm.
How does it affect how I interact with others, the choices I make,
right?
Even the way I view the world around me?
Those are great questions.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that our faith isn't meant to be compartmentalized,
yeah,
but to impact everything we do.
Now, the next theme really grabbed my attention because it uses such powerful imagery. Remember we talked about redemption?
Yes.
Well, Dr. Mathewson frames this within the epic narrative of a new Exodus. He brings up that dramatic story of the Israelites escaping slavery in Egypt.
That's such a brilliant connection. It's a story etched in our collective memory. It speaks of liberation, deliverance,
yes,
and a journey toward a promised land.
It's a story that resonates with anyone who's ever felt trapped or longed for freedom.
Right. And that's exactly what Dr. Mathewson does, you know. He masterfully draws parallels between the Israelites' exodus and our salvation. Think of it as a new exodus this time from the slavery of sin. And he points to passages in Colossians, Galatians, and Romans that support this idea.
It's like we're invited to join this grand narrative, not escaping physical chains, but the chains of sin and death. It makes you think, what are the Egypts in our lives?
Yeah.
You know, those things that hold us back from experiencing true freedom.
That's a powerful question to consider, yeah. What are the mindsets, habits, or even relationships that keep us enslaved? And what would it look like to journey towards that promised land, a life of true freedom and wholeness?
Those are some huge questions. And, you know, when we talk about freedom, it's hard not to think about the role of the Holy Spirit in all of this. It's like he's the wind in our sails propelling us forward on this journey.
You're absolutely right. Dr. Mathewson emphasizes that the Holy Spirit is vital to experiencing salvation. Think of the Spirit as our guide, illuminating these truths and making them come alive within us. You know, he takes these ancient scriptures and makes them relevant for our lives today.
That resonates with me. There are times when I'm reading the Bible and it feels so distant, like it's from another world. But then there are those moments when the Spirit brings a verse to life and it hits me like a lightning bolt. It suddenly feels so personal and powerful.
Exactly. And remember that image of the Spirit enabling us to cry out, Abba, Father. It's the Spirit assuring us of our adoption, giving us a direct line to God, a language of love and intimacy. It's like he's whispering, you know, you are loved, you are accepted, you belong.
There's something so comforting about that, you know. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of those times when I'm feeling lost or alone, and I sense that whisper of the Spirit reminding me of God's love.
It's a beautiful reminder of the constant presence of the Spirit, not just assuring us of our salvation, but also empowering us to live it out. Think back to sanctification. Dr. Mathewson emphasizes that the Holy Spirit is the agent of our transformation, gradually making us more like Christ.
So it's not about white-knuckling our way to holiness,
yeah,
relying on willpower alone.
Not at all. True sanctification is a fruit of the Spirit, a response to his work within us. You know, we surrender to his leading and allow him to shape us from the inside out.
That makes so much sense. It takes the pressure off trying to be perfect on our own. But it also brings up the question of assurance. How can I know for sure that I'm truly saved? You know, it's easy to get caught up in doubts, especially when I'm struggling or making mistakes.
It's a question we all wrestle with at some point. Dr. Mathewson reminds us that true assurance comes from the Holy Spirit's witness within us. It's not based on how good we are or how we feel, but on the truth of God's promises and the work he's doing in us.
So it's about trusting in God's faithfulness, not our own fluctuating emotions.
Precisely. Assurance is a gift, a deep sense of knowing that we are secure in God's love no matter what. It frees us to live boldly and joyfully without being paralyzed by fear or doubt.
That's incredibly freeing. It makes me think about how all these different aspects of salvation we've been discussing, justification, reconciliation, adoption, sanctification, even the new Exodus. Is there a specific order to all of this? Like, do I need to experience one before the other?
That's a great question and something theologians have debated for centuries. Dr. Mathewson doesn't necessarily lay out a strict timeline. Instead, he emphasizes how these aspects are all interwoven, like different instruments in an orchestra, creating a beautiful symphony.
That's a much more appealing image than a checklist. It's more about recognizing how they all work together. But it makes me wonder about the practical implications of all this. How does understanding these things actually change how we live?
that's the key question, isn't it? Dr. Mathewson is constantly bringing us back to the idea that these aren't just theoretical concepts. They're meant to transform our lives. How does it affect our relationships, our work, our purpose?
It's like being given this new set of glasses that changes how we see everything. Right. We still see the world's brokenness, but now there's this layer of hope, of redemption. We see the pain of sin, but also the incredible power of forgiveness.
Exactly. And it's not just about getting into heaven someday. It's about experiencing a foretaste of heaven right now. A life marked by freedom, joy, and peace that comes from knowing God and being known by Him.
Speaking of knowing God, you know what really stuck with me? The whole idea of inheritance. What does it actually mean to inherit the blessings of salvation, not just in the future, but right now?
That's a fascinating question. Dr. Mathewson highlights several aspects of our inheritance we can experience today. One is the gift of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us to live a life of righteousness and victory over sin. It's not just about waiting for heaven. It's about accessing God's power in our lives today.
So it's like we've been given this incredible tool, this supernatural power source to help us navigate the challenges of life.
Precisely. We also inherit a new identity as children of God. This changes everything about how we see ourselves, our value, our purpose, our destiny. It's like being handed a royal passport, granting us access to all the riches of God's grace.
And who doesn't love a good inheritance story? So yeah. You've gone from rags to riches, not in a material sense, but in a spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm.
We've been given something far more valuable than any earthly treasure.
And it doesn't stop there. We also inherit community. We're adopted into a family of believers, a global support system,
people
who understand our struggles, share our joys, and help us grow in our faith.
It's like having a built-in cheerleading squad, encouraging us on, reminding us we're not alone in this journey.
Exactly. And as we journey together, we get glimpses of the ultimate inheritance, a new heaven and a new earth where God's presence is fully realized and His purposes are completely fulfilled.
That's a vision worth clinging to, especially when things get tough in this life. It reminds me of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. We're not just supposed to sit on this inheritance, hoard it for ourselves, but use it to make a difference in the world.
That's such an important point. We're called to be good stewards of what we've been given. It makes you think, how am I using the gifts, the talents, the resources, the opportunities that God has given me? Am I investing in eternity or squandering it on things that don't really matter?
It's a sobering question. But let's be honest, following Christ isn't always sunshine and roses. There are going to be times of struggle, doubt, temptation, even persecution. How does all this talk about salvation equip us to handle the tough stuff?
You're right, and Dr. Mathewson doesn't sugarcoat the reality of suffering. He reminds us that being in Christ doesn't mean we'll escape hardships, but it does mean we're empowered to face them with courage and resilience.
So it's not about avoiding suffering, but learning to walk through it with God by our side.
Exactly. And Dr. Mathewson uses the powerful example of Jesus, you know. He endured unimaginable suffering for us. His suffering became the means of our redemption, showing us that God's power is often made perfect in weakness.
It's a humbling reminder that our struggles aren't always a sign of God's absence. Sometimes they're an opportunity for growth, a chance to lean on Him more deeply.
And remember that concept of union with Christ. It's not just about sharing His victory. It's also about participating in His suffering. It sounds paradoxical, but it means we're never alone in our struggles.
It's like being handed a rope in the middle of a storm. We might still be battling the waves, but we're tethered to something secure, something stronger than ourselves.
And because of that connection, we can face trials with confidence, knowing that His strength will sustain us, His grace will empower us, and His love will never leave us.
You know, thinking about suffering and hardship, it's hard not to acknowledge the persecution so many believers face around the world. It's a stark reminder that sometimes following Jesus comes at a cost.
You're right. Dr. Mathewson doesn't shy away from this reality. He reminds us that being a Christian might lead to rejection, ridicule, even violence. But what's amazing is that even in the face of persecution, the early Christians found joy and hope in their salvation. They were willing to suffer because they knew their true reward was in heaven.
It makes you examine your own heart, doesn't it? Would I be willing to stand firm in my faith even when it's difficult? Am I prepared to face opposition, to lose friends, to be misunderstood, all because of Jesus?
Those are challenging questions, and they really force us to grapple with what it truly means to be a disciple.
But the encouraging thing is we're not called to face these challenges alone. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, the support of other believers, and most importantly, the unwavering love of God.
And let's not forget the theme of the new Exodus. Just as God delivered the Israelites from slavery, he will ultimately deliver us from all oppression and suffering. It's a promise of future victory that gives us hope and courage to keep going.
That leads to another powerful aspect of our salvation that Dr. Mathewson talks about, the resurrection. It's not just about spiritual transformation or avoiding hell. It's about a complete renewal, body and soul.
Exactly. Death isn't the end for those who are in Christ. It's the doorway to a glorious new existence where we'll be free from sin, suffering, and decay. It's hard to even imagine what that will be like.
It blows my mind. Sometimes when I think about all this, the scope of salvation, it feels almost overwhelming. It's like trying to wrap my head around eternity.
I hear you. It's vast and multifaceted, but Dr. Mathewson doesn't try to oversimplify it or reduce it to a formula. He acknowledges the mystery and wonder of it all.
It reminds me that even though I might not fully grasp everything about salvation, I can trust that God's work in me is complete, and he'll continue to refine and transform me until I see him face to face.
That's a beautiful truth to hold on to. We can rest in his faithfulness, his goodness, and his unfailing love.
You know, as we've been discussing all this, it strikes me how practical salvation really is. It's not just a theological idea to be studied, but a reality to be lived out.
You're absolutely right. Dr. Mathewson emphasizes that salvation isn't passive. We're called to actively participate in God's redemptive plan.
So what does that look like in everyday life? How does it affect our relationships, our work, our money, how we spend our time, how we engage with the world around us?
Those are the questions we all need to be asking. It's a challenge to examine our lives and see if they reflect the reality of our salvation.
It's not just about what we do, but who we're becoming, right?
Yeah.
Are we allowing God to shape our character, our values, our priorities, even our identity?
That's a key part of it. It's about becoming more and more like Jesus, reflecting his love, grace, and truth in everything we do.
You know, this whole conversation makes me think about the Great Commission. We're not just supposed to keep this amazing news to ourselves. We're called to share it with others.
That's so true. We're ambassadors for Christ, entrusted with the message of hope and reconciliation.
It makes you think, how am I sharing my faith? Am I living in a way that attracts people to Jesus? Am I using my words and actions to point others to the hope I found in him?
Those are questions we all need to be asking ourselves. It's a challenge to step out of our comfort zones and be bold in our witness for Christ.
But the good news is, we don't have to do it perfectly. We have a Holy Spirit working through us and the support of other believers.
And we can trust that God will use our efforts, no matter how small they may seem, to advance his kingdom.
Wow. We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. It's amazing to see how all these pieces fit together.
It really is like a tapestry woven with threads of grace, mercy, love, justice, redemption, reconciliation, and so much more. It's the story of God's incredible plan for humanity.
And even though we might never fully understand all the intricacies of salvation in this life, we can rest assured that God is at work in us. He's transforming us, shaping us, preparing us for eternity.
And that's a truth worth celebrating. We can trust in his faithfulness, his goodness, and his unfailing love.
You know, as we're wrapping up this part of our deep dive, I can't help but think about that powerful verse in Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast."
That's such a powerful reminder. Salvation is not something we earn or deserve. It's a free gift, pure grace, received through faith.
And this gift changes everything. It transforms our lives, gives us hope for the future, and empowers us to live in a way that honors God.
It's a gift to be cherished, to be shared, and to be lived out fully.
Right. We've talked about a lot. But before we move on to our final thoughts, let's do a quick recap of everything we've covered.
Sounds good. It's always helpful to review the main points.
We started by exploring the foundation of justification, which is about being declared righteous in God's eyes because of what Jesus did for us.
Then we talked about the beautiful concept of reconciliation, how Christ's death bridged the gap between us and God, restoring our relationship and empowering us to extend grace to others.
We also delved into the heartwarming idea of adoption, discovering that we're now children of God, heirs to his promises, and recipients of his boundless love.
We tackled the sometimes intimidating topic of sanctification, realizing that it's less about our efforts and more about surrendering to the Holy Spirit's work in us, allowing him to transform us from the inside out.
And who could forget that powerful image of the new Exodus? Just like God freed the Israelites from slavery, he's freed us from sin and death, leading us toward a glorious inheritance.
And underpinning all these aspects is the foundational truth of our union with Christ. It's through our connection to him that we experience the fullness of God's grace and are empowered to live a life that reflects his character.
Ooh. I feel like we've been on quite a journey already.
Yeah, it really is incredible how all these pieces of salvation, you know, connect and build on each other. It's like we've been given this treasure map and justification, reconciliation and adoption and sanctification and the new Exodus, union with Christ. They're all leading us to the same destination, a deeper understanding of who God is and who we are in him. That's a beautiful way to put it. And what I appreciate about Dr. Mathewson, you know, is that he doesn't just present these ideas in a dry academic way. He brings such passion and even a sense of wonder to the topic, you know?
Yeah, you can really feel his excitement. And it's contagious.
Yeah.
Honestly, I found myself like getting swept up in the sheer scope of it all. God's plan is so vast and intricate, yet it all comes back to this incredible love for us.
Right. It's a good reminder that theology, studying God, isn't just about head knowledge.
Yeah.
It's about encountering the living God and being transformed by his truth.
And that transformation should be evident in our lives.
Right.
If we truly grasp the depth of what Christ has done for us, it should radically change how we live.
Absolutely. Dr. Mathewson challenges us to think about the practical implications of our salvation. You know, it's not just a get-out-of-jail-free card for the afterlife. How does it affect our relationships, our work, our priorities, how we spend our time and money? What does it look like to live this out each day?
Yeah, it's like we've been given this new lens through which to view the world. We still see the brokenness, the pain, the struggles. But now there's this layer of hope, of redemption. It changes our perspective, our responses, everything.
We begin to see things differently. We see the power of forgiveness, the potential for healing, the possibility of real change. It's about experiencing a taste of heaven here on earth, you know?
That's such a powerful thought. It's not just about escaping hell and going to heaven someday. It's about experiencing that freedom, joy, and peace that comes from knowing God right now in the midst of our messy everyday lives.
And that's what I think Dr. Mathewson wants us to grasp. Salvation isn't a destination. It's a journey.
Right.
It's a process of growth, of being transformed to become more like Christ. And that process continues until we see him face to face.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with this question.
Yeah.
If salvation is about so much more than just going to heaven, what does it mean for you to live it out right here, right now?
What a great question. It really challenges us to move beyond simply saying we believe and start truly living out our faith in tangible ways.
Yeah.
It's an invitation to look at our lives and ask ourselves, am I reflecting the reality of my salvation? Am I becoming more like Christ?
Are we letting our faith impact how we treat others, how we make decisions, how we use our time and resources? Are we reflecting God's love and grace to the world around us?
Those are questions worth wrestling with. And as we do, I hope we're filled with a deeper sense of gratitude for this incredible gift of salvation. It's not something we could ever earn or deserve, and yet it's freely offered to us.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the heart of the New Testament. I hope you've been inspired and challenged to go deeper in your own understanding of salvation and to truly live it out in all its fullness.